Are y'all ready to have an AA meeting? Hi, everybody. My name is Misty, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from 29, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea what has happened in their lives. We hope that no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too, and I must have this thing. Now, I really wanted to introduce tonight's speaker, but Lisa and I rock, paper, scissors, and she won. You're welcome.
My name is Lisa, and I'm an alcoholic. So, thank you, Missy. You do such an awesome job. Thank you for your service. So, I met Chris not long ago, along with a couple of other really special new friends of mine. And I was just impressed at how sweet he was and willing and handsome and, you know, no, honestly. I just wanted to introduce Chris myself, and he's a new friend of mine, and I give you Chris M.
Hey, Sam, my name is Chris, and I'm a grapefruit alcoholic. My clean date is 5/10/2011. My home groups are heavy hitters and prime time groups.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right? They told me when I first came here, you know, get a sponsor, get a home group. In order to get a home, when you get the home group, the reason for that is to so they can get people can get to know you, right? And they can account for that bull crap that you have in your head, that delusional thinking, right? I'm really from Alabama. I'm a Bama fan. I bleed Bama blood.
Roll Tide.
See, look at that. It's everywhere, baby. Love it. So, but you know, I grew up in a small town in Alabama, Brandage, Alabama, and then after doing some steps, you know, I realized that I really had a really good upbringing. But you know, in this program, I also discovered that I lived in delusion for a long time. My thinking got me in trouble a whole lot. And I used to take things to the extreme. Before I even took a drink or a drug when I was 9 years old, I always had this manipulative and dishonest and deceiving behavior from my mom and dad. See, I used to always want money, right? Because I like the nice clothes. So I asked my mom. I already knew my mom was going to tell me no. But I make sure my dad was at earsight so I can hear her tell me no, so I can, you know, manipulate him. Did you hear what she said? She told me no. And I make him feel guilty. He'll do it for you. You know? Like I said, I had a good upbringing, right? Didn't want for anything. I'm the youngest of seven. And me and my siblings, there's like a big gap between me and my near sibling, who's my sister. It's like 21 years. So I didn't really grow up with my siblings. I grew up with my nieces and nephews, who talk a lot of my older than I am. And I'm 59. So I grew up around them. So I never really felt like I belonged. I didn't feel like I was a part of. I always felt apart from. You know, so, but I found a niche growing up, you know, that I played sports well, especially baseball. I was good in my schoolwork. I made straight A's, you know. That was a attention getter. My mom was more like she had my nephews move in with us. They were the same age I am. Like, matter of fact, he was 1 year older than I was. I move in with us so I can have someone in the household to try to relate to, right? I didn't know that at the time. I thought he was invading my privacy. You getting half of what I get, bro. You invading my privacy. You're getting the rest of my goodies, I'm supposed to have. Because, see, I was that person that, you talking about self-centered to the core, egotistical, narcissistic, arrogant, got everything, spoiled-ass kid. And if I see you had it and I didn't have it, I already have this, but I want yours, too. That was my thinking, right? So growing up and everything, it was good. But then, you know, I first drank when I was 9 years old. That's how this happened. My dad made coffee in the morning, right? And he'll drink his coffee And I didn't know, I don't know where this alcoholismthis bug came from in my family with me. Because I can look at my past and I don't see, not remember anyone that was alcoholic. You know what I mean? Didn't show alcoholic because everybody was very successful. They drank a lot, but they were very successful. So what the hell did come out with me? I'm thinking, what the hell happened? Right? So my dad would drink his coffee, and I'd go in there and sneak a drink of coffee, right? Boom, bam. One morning, I went and did that. Coffee didn't taste the same. It tasted different. How was that? Right? So I started feeling different. I said, damn, I like that. Let me go get some more of that, right? Run around the house like a little wild-ass child, you know? So and I said, so that was my drinking spree. But I continued to drink. Now, growing up seeing people don't drink, and you guys talk about alcoholics, right? Alcoholism. Never heard that word before when I was growing up. It was a drunk, wine over. That was the words I heard, right? You see people fall out on the steps, and then next morning you see them still down the steps, passed out, nobody messed with them, right? But as time went on, I continued to drink, and I started having these consequences. Y'all know consequences have consequences, right? So I started getting in trouble. One of the biggest major trouble I had when I was in school was, now mind you, I'm a straight A student. I'm in honor society. I'm a who's who among American high school students. I led in all sports, saw running back, right? Short, badass shortstop, had potential scholarships and pro, right? All these things. But drinking. My first major incident was me and my friends had this bright idea that we could bring some alcohol to school and drink in class while we're in class. Oh, I forgot. Vice President of Student Government, too. Right? All these things, right? This motherfucker out of control. Right? You wait there. Wait. There it comes. So, this is the delusional thinking, right? So, we got caught. You know, they made me resign from Vice President of Student Government. All right? We got suspended for like 3 months of school. All right? We still went to the 12th grade and everything, man. So that was my first incident, major incident. You know, I'm thinking, it's the thing to do because it made me feel good. We had fun. And every consequence that did come about as a home, it was just part of the thing. Okay, next day, let's try it again. Just don't let that happen again, right? All right. Then the major incident happened. My mom passed. Ooh, game changer. Changed the whole ball game. You see, my dad died. He was my great supporter, man. He was always at my baseball games and sports. And my dad passed, me and my mom. That's when we really got close, right? And I'm thinking she's like an angel, God-like, right? So she passed. Now I have resentment toward God and everybody. I started drinking more. Started smoking weed. Then I was in college playing baseball. I did get that scholarship. I got that. But back when my mom passed, I said, fuck everything and fuck everybody. You know? And I acted out real nasty. I didn't care who I hurt. If you got in my path, you just ran over by the train. This is my thinking. This is my behavior back then and now. I had this bright idea to join the military. Get out of a small town and do something different. Do something different, but not different from my behavior. Because I'm still saying fuck the world and F everybody. But I wasn't trying to go in the army and be a soldier. I was just trying to get out of that small town. Travel and, you know, do the things, drink, party, whatever, right? Because life, right now, life was a big party for me. That's all it was, a big party for me. But things changed when I got in. I started drinking a lot, yeah. Drank so much, in my second year in the military, I got in 3 alcohol-related incidents. Now, mind you, I don't start playing softball for the military, right? They have these tracks they call, every time you get an alcohol related, see, the first one they got track 1, 2, and 3. You go to these tracks, right? The first one I went to track 1. That's when I first heard the word alcoholic, right? Got it 3 months later, got in another track. I got busted too behind all this stuff. Got put on restriction and everything, extra duty. And so the third one We had this bright idea. Me and my partner was at the club, NCO club, drinking, and we all drunk. We got riding his car, so he pulls off from the NCO club and run across the curb. I said, "Damn, you too drunk, man." So I think I can drive better than him. Now I'm drunk too, now you know. So I get in the car. We go to the place. You know, instead of walk ride up and letting the window down, let the alcohol fumes come out the window. We ride up, and the security police come out through the window. And as soon as the window comes out, it's cold as hell, and that alcohol just rushed out and slapped it in the face. And bam, said, "You guys been drinking?" "Yeah, yeah." But he's the one drunk. That's what I told her. He's the one drunk. So she said, "Well, you just pull us aside." I said, "That did it. We're in trouble. We're in trouble." They let them go, and they arrested me, right? Now, mind you, consequences have consequences. All the time I've been getting busted. Now, things are going to be the same thing with this, right? Because my first sergeant, the commander came and got me. It's going to be the same thing. But no, they tired of my bullshit now. I got busted 3 times. We're going to kick your ass up out of here. Now, I'm feeling some type of way. What am I going to do now? Now, all the time I'm on restriction, you know, you're supposed to drink. Well, there are 3 places you can go. The chapel, your work, and the dining facility. That's the only place you can go. And back to the barracks, right? When I went to track 3, they told me about the alcohol AA. Okay. Never heard of it. So I go to AA, as suggested. When I get there, I get in the church, and there's a crowd, a lot of people in there. I said, "Wait, I'm not even understanding what's going on. This obsession, this phenomenal craving, I don't even know what they're talking about. That's just not me. That's you all, it's not me." So when I get there, this lady said she was an alcoholic, and everybody, and she said her name, everybody said, "Hey, such and such, such." I said, "Hold the fuck up. This sounds like a cult over here. What the hell is going on over here, right?" Now, I'm already closed-minded coming up here, and I said, "Whoa." So I said, "Wait a minute." I heard maybe about 2 more shares, and I walked up out of there. And mind you, I had some more consequences, because I had some more experiences, right? I came back. I worked really hard. I got busted down from an E4 to E1. But my first sergeant commander saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I saw potential. And they went before the colonel and talked up for me. And they kept me in the military. Matter of fact, I got all my rank back plus 2 more. Right? So I'm done. Almost 12 years in the military, man. And I'm very proud of that. But drinking was out of control. Just totally out of control. Now, when I came here, what happened was that I wasn't really addressed because I didn't understand the alcoholism thing. They never want to accept that, you know, okay, I'm not like you guys, no way, right? See, my ego and my arrogance stayed in my way, my pride stood in my way. I'm thinking I'm better than. Now, mind you, I got involved also with this thing called crack cocaine in the military. Off the damn chart out there, guys. I was off the rails, right? I used to come to damn work, geeked up, and thinking I'm short, socks down, dress right, dress, spit shine boots. People were standing before I even saw it, thinking everything all right. I'm in the club, and when I took a hit, thinking it's hot as hell in this club, and acting it's a full blown. And I said, "Why so hot here? Why so hot here?" "No, it's just you." Now, as a few more times, I'm watching because I'm thinking everybody looking at me. Somebody just saw me hit that damn shit in that car, right? Somebody saw me. And I'm nervous. I said, "Wait a minute." So I have to run out, go to the bathroom, get myself together, come back out, and they're still looking at me. Right? Delusion. Now, you hear now, the thing about delusion is that they talk about the insanity aspect of this thing, that you do the same thing, expecting different results, right? Sandy also is, I know the results and I still do it. So I'm going to give you a story, a prime example. I was in the streets, right? Homeless. Oh, my man, like a maggot, looking like a maggot out there. Comprehensive demoralization. I was out there, had a bucket and a backpack with rags and a bucket full of car cleaning supplies. In my mind, I had a car, mower detailing business. Now, that's delusional for your ass. Now, is that delusional? Is that insane? Oh, I had another one now. I was going around soliciting for mowing yards and had no equipment, but thought I had a landscaping business. My mind, I'm telling you, my mind, even though I'm in the streets with you guys, I'm thinking I'm better than you. That's my thinking. But you know, guys, everybody, consequences have consequences, right? All right. I continued this thing going for years and years, right? And I remember the first time that I'm a veteran, so I go get some help. I'm going to get some help, do the first three steps, and they talk about the fourth step, the boogeyman step, right? Delusion. It's not. It's all in my head. It was all in my head. But what really scared me was my first sponsor, he started asking me questions about the sexual activities out there in the streets. That I trick for money or trick for drugs. Dude, you bugging up the wrong damn tree. I don't do that kind of crap. What the hell wrong with you? I said, I'm waiting to get out of here because his ass is fired. Right? You don't got to come at me like that, dude. I'm not that type of dude, right? But see, mind you, there was something subconsciously and consciously in my head that I hid that I was going to take to my grave. And I never was going to tell nobody. That I was molested as a kid. I don't worry about what people look at me, how they look at me, what they think about me. I don't give a damn what you think about me. It's my story. It is what it is. I want to be free. And that's what I got when I told it. So if you're holding on to it, please let it go. Tell somebody you can trust. Talk about that. Therapist. Hell, I got some ministry too now. Don't get it twisted. I told you I served the Army 12 years. And that book talks about seeking some extra help, right, in that book. And I do that. I have a therapist. Matter of fact, I even have off-duty therapist I call. They even know, hey, I need to talk to you. This mother did this. Like, easy, bro. What role you played in it? What? What role I played in it? What do you mean, what role I played in it? It's them. This guy was somebody at the Atlanta Man workshop. He said, it was them. It was them. All along was them. But no, it really wasn't. So I went on and I fired that sponsor. And I relapsed. Stay gone maybe 2 to 3 years, relapse, the more experience. I said, man, nobody can help me. God, I have a resentment toward God. I really am not dealing with him or her or it or whatever. I'm not dealing with that, right? I'm my own God. How'd that work out? You know what I mean? Go ahead and do some more experience, right? So, my second sponsor, I got this guy. I think I relapsed on this guy 2 or 3 times. Because we went through the steps. I only gave him bare minimum of the steps and everything. I didn't put all my all. They said work authority. They asked you for a Thor, right? Thor steps, right? Working the steps. But I didn't do that. I gave on the minimum just to get by. You know what I mean? They call that soliciting to recover. Lottery to recover, I mean. I'm sorry. You're lottery to recover, they call that. And that's what I was doing. But it wasn't until I got that thorough ass whooping, guys. But a thorough ass whooping happened many times. You know, I gave up for any time, but I kept taking my wheel back. I got it now, God. I have this. I got this. I got this now. Right? I can do this now. That's about 2 years in recovery. Things are going good. And I don't know about you guys, but my high power has done a whole lot of great things for me, guys. I think that the second time I relapsed, my sponsor told me, he said, maybe you need to go to prison or something. To sit down and think about what's going on in your life. I said, what kind of shit is that to say to somebody? Go to prison. Been in jail now. Misdemeanor charges, stealing stuff. That's what I used to do. I used to boost stuff now. Or cleaning supplies. Yeah, I used to go to City Rock. This is crazy stuff, man. I look back, I like to laugh at this shit too. You know what I'm saying? Because I walk in a grocery store. I already got my mind set what I'm going to do, right? I knew you guys, especially women, have households, especially the dope dealer woman. Matter of fact, his girlfriend, wife, whatever. I'm coming to her. Now, mind you, I thought I had a business mind in the middle. Remember that mobile detailing business and that landscape business I thought I had? Well, I thought I had business skills, so I know how to attack. Don't come to the woman of the house. Don't come to the dope dealer. Come to her because she gonna say yes. I know she's going to say because she want that laundry detergent. She want all that cleaning supplies. She want the house smell good. And she's going to convince the dope dealer to give me the dope for the goods, right? Delusional. It worked, but it was delusional. It's not the type of business I need to be in, you know what I mean? So I go to the store. I go to Kroger and grab the plastic bags, go right up to the counter, grab the plastic bag, and get a buggy and put it in there, and go pack all that stuff in there, and walk out the door like I bought all of it. I hit that store 2 or 3 times a day. Got caught, though. A few times, went to jail. You know, did that stop me? No. Not if I got caught and told them just leave right there, but I just walk out. 4 hours later, I came at that same store, hit it again. Crazy, trying to get that next one. You hear me? The risk I take, right? So, now, what I was doing was, consequences have consequences, right? So what happened was, now that fact is, I got to a point now, my sponsor told me, you may probably need to go to prison so you can sit down and just think about what your life and what's going on in your life. And every day, that's what happened. Aggravated assault, aggravated battery charges. Went to prison. They said, 10 years. What? Put my hands on somebody? But I accepted that. And I told my high pastor God, and I said, all that stuff I got away with. It's stealing, lying, deceiving, whatever it is, charge this. Because I'm tired of fighting. I'm not going to fight these people in 10 years. I said, but I'm going to kill them all when I get out there. I'm going to kill the judge, I'm going to get the prosecutor, I'm going to get the defense, I'm killing everybody. But God had little plans, guys. My sponsor told me, he said, that long enough to see my whole the whole situation. And that's exactly what happened. I sat there long, because I remember you guys told me something, what role I played in it. Right? Now, I remember this one guy, I remember him distinctly telling me, okay, I don't get a 4-step. You know, you did your paper, you got the resentments down, boom, boom, boom. All right. I talked to my sponsor, the 5th step. She did this, he did this, IRS did this, boom, boom, boom. AT&T did this. All right. So he get the paper, he put it over here to the side, and, you know, we sitting there, he put it aside, and he said, we finished with everything. I said, I'm thinking we're going to talk about these, right? These motherfuckers. But we don't. He said, now what role you play now? What do you mean what role I play now, bro? What about them? I thought the show was about them. Nah, he tricked me, right? But no, they ain't tricked me. That's the way the show's supposed to work. We have no control of people, places, things, situation. Nothing. We have no control. We don't control about us. How do we react? Well, I'm not going to say react. I'm going to say respond. If I react, you know, my reaction is violence. Back then, it was like violence. Put my hands on you back then or cuss you out or whatever. But today, I know how to do it in a more respectful way. I call that responding, destructive way. Right? So again, I sat there long enough in prison to see my side of the story. And it wasn't pretty. I had started the ball rolling from the beginning, dude. So why were you in prison? Smoking that dope, drinking all that alcohol, bruh. You're out of your mind. If you wouldn't have been doing all that, you wouldn't have been in that position. You know? To go steal for the next one. Nothing like that. Started up all the whole brothers. I had to take responsibility for that guy. And then, thinking about how power was, I had that resentment, right? But I was seeing all along how you protect me. Here's the prime example how I know my higher power. I don't need your story to know that's a higher power. I don't need your story. I can hear your experience, faith, and hope, but I have my own evidence. I don't need nobody else but mine. I can hear yours and be, okay, yeah, I can relate to that. So you come in these rooms and we identify. We don't look at the differences. We try to identify. That's what they told me, but I was already looking at the differences. So I was coming in and I was closed-minded. When open-minded, was a damn. So what happened was that when I was working for the federal government, I didn't tell you about that part, dude. I worked for the federal government, VA, and what happened was I kept relapsing. The whole time I was working for the VA, every time I relapsed. I was going to Georgia State to get my second degree too, right? But every time we got that student loan, I withdraw because I don't want that WF on my record. I told you I thought I was smart, right? So it wouldn't be on my record. But I have that money and I go get high with it. Don't go back to school. It took me 15 years to get a second degree, but I got it. So. When I was with the federal government, it was like Every time I realized I come back in, I will always get back with the federal government. How the hell is that possible? My power's taking care of me. After 4.5 years in prison, I came back, got back in with the federal government. Now you tell me the higher power taking care of me, doing for me what I can't do myself. I have a new pair of glasses on today. I see things differently. You tell me that in HB out there. I can hear the birds. I just came from a spiritual retreat, guys. Just being in nature, you're just looking at me. You just look out there when the daylight is and you see that river, see those trees, see nature. Clear eyes, new pair of glasses. You know? It's a beautiful thing. But when somebody cut me off of that damn track, I'm ready to cut their damn throat, right? I've gotten better with that. You know, I used to get mad at people. I used to get upset with people when they speak back to me. You know, I'm from Alabama. I'm a small town in Alabama, so we speak. We speak, if you see a person 10 times a day, you speak 10 times. They speak back, right? I come to Georgia. What the hell's up, y'all? I come into Georgia. Nobody speaks back. What the hell? Did I do something to you? I took offense to that, but they told me it wasn't me. You did your part. I mean, I really, that little petty, something petty like that, I really was getting upset about that. You know, in that voice started talking about the sex, society, and security, right? That got offended. So I reacted. I didn't respond. I reacted. I'm not ready to cuss somebody out and everything, but you know, I got better with that. I just do my part. I need the rest of God. Even when they're doing the 8th and 9th step, you know, make my amends. My sponsor told me, say, oh, just do your part. Clean your side of the street and leave the rest up to God. That's between the, whatever it is, between them and their God. Not everybody's going to accept my apologies and my own retributions, whatever. They're not going to take it. And a girl told me, I went up there, I apologized to her the way I treated her back in the college and everything. That girl told me to get out of my face. See, my sponsor already prepared me. This program already prepared me for that type of stuff. Be on the A beam, they call it. Don't have no expectations. Expectations are nothing but a premeditated resentment. When it don't go my way, I'm going to react some type of way. Even if it's a silent treatment. So today, guys, I have a better life, man. I have a very good life. And I have really no complaints. Well, I do complain. Don't do no good because... Bottom line, I know today is I have some peace and serenity, some happiness today. And when the things, not little things or even big things, disturb my peace, some personal place things disturb it, I have a network of people I can call. I have all due to therapists. Oh, that main thing I have, that pencil and paper. Ooh, that's some powerful stuff. Write about those feelings. Write about that thinking, that crazy thinking. Write about it. You'll be amazed what comes out of here, here, to here, and on that paper. You'll look at it about 6 months from now, whatever, say, what the hell was going on then? Was I thinking like that? Yeah, bro, you think like that. Yeah. Don't take this for granted, guys. Please don't, newcomers, please don't, guys. If you're the first time and you're in recovery, whatever, man, new here, please don't take it for granted. Now, if you want to go ahead and do some more testing, you go right ahead. We'll welcome you back with open arms. That's what we do. But if you come to heavy hitters, guys, we got something for your ass, though. Because we're going to tell you to sit your ass in the front row and shut up because you don't know nothing. Because we give it to you hard. They gave it to me hard. Because I'm a hard-headed kid. I go back in and out, you know. Get that soft touch. We have a soft touch group. I don't even mean to disrespect you, girl. But they don't give it to me soft. They didn't give it to me soft. Because, see, I took things to the extreme. I'm one of those guys that took things to the extreme. I had to find out for myself what you said was true. You know, in that book, it talks about, where's that book at, Joe? It talks about, in the beginning, it talks about, before we get to that first step, it says admit, right? We're powerless. But, see, and you read that book, it says something about acceptance. Accept the fact that I have this disease. Accept the fact that I'm like you guys, right? And that I need some help. Well, that's another thing. You can't do this by yourself. I used to go to treatment. If you're tired of going to treatment, the guy told me, he said, if you're tired of going to treatment, let this be your motivator not to go back to treatment and stay out of treatment. I know you get tired of letting your neighbors, okay, somebody disturbing your peace or whatever, right? And got more about alcoholism. I know you get tired of people going to your kids, you're going to get your goodies, stealing your personal hygiene. Oh, I like I'm number one now. Am I the only one? Oh, okay, all right. Stealing my expensive cologne. New guy coming out. Yeah, face on my face. He said, no, I didn't. Bruh, I felt your spirit line. And I did some investigation, so I went and found it in your drawer. You know what I mean? So, it talks about before we get to the part about admitting the fact that we have to accept the fact, pretty much my paraphrase, have to accept the fact that I'm an alcoholic. I'm just like you guys in these rooms. Don't even have us about it. Again, I don't need your evidence. I have my own. My own experience. It's not a theory anymore, it's a fact. My experience in and out of jail, all the consequences that had consequences, those were my facts. That's my evidence. And if you think you're different here, this guy told me one time, he said, Chris, you're not unique. Whatever you're going through, everybody goes through it. You're not special. It's just your turn to go through it. One of the things is don't go through it. Not only don't stop in the middle of it, but continue to go through it. And how we go through it, because you've got some tools in this room, a network, that pen and paper, a high power, you know, prayer, meetings, you know, a walk, a gym, whatever works for you. Oh, and your sponsor. So when they ask you to get the numbers, they're asking you to build a network. That's what we're doing. That's to build a network. Because you might not get me. I might be in the damn mountains doing a Atlanta men's workshop or something. And you got some numbers you can call someone else. Go to the next number. Somebody's there, I promise you. Unless you want to use. That's a test for your ass. Don't fail the test. I belong to a group called the No Matter What group. No matter what happens in life, I don't use, I don't pick up, I don't drink. No matter what. I know the concept. I play the thing, tell me to play the thing all the way through. But again, I don't need your evidence. I have my own. I can talk about many damn reels of tapes I can go through. You know what I mean? Oh, prison. Oh, I don't want to go that. That's it. We're not going to do that. I don't hear anything about without using. Every now and then I have a using dream. Thank God I was a using dream when I wake up. But I'm conscious. I don't know what. Hey, I don't know when the session left. They say to pray for the high power for the session to leave you. I don't know when mine left. I ain't trying to search for it. All I know is it's gone. And I'm okay with that. You know? I'm glad you guys are here, man. All right, and welcome everybody. Stay on this journey. We trust the road of happy destiny here. All right? No matter what group, guys, we don't use. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, and I'm glad we got the unedited version. I was like, please? Just kidding. I've asked Doug to pass out the chips.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Doug, and I am an alcoholic. We're at the Blue Chips speaker meeting.
Woo.
We hand out chips just like we do all over the world. And the first one we have is the white chip. Anyone want to surrender to this way of life? Anyone coming back?
There's a well-known affliction, better known as addiction. Takes everything you got, including your ambition. Has a real long history, but still is a mystery. It's all you think about becomes your priority. You lose your self-control, you dig yourself a hole. You'll do anything to feed it, even
tell your soul. It's a daily obsession, a fatal progression. The way to feel yourself is with the true confession. It affects all races, has so many faces. Like power, food, and sex, it's all the same disgraces. It's just in strife, addiction ruins your life. And the sad thing about it, you won't even think twice. It occupies your mind, it's like you're doing time. Every time you turn around, you're spending every dime. You place your family last and use them up real fast. It's hard to face reality, therefore you live in the past. It's so much confusion, a life of delusion. You think you're doing fine, but it is just an illusion. It's a life of shame, and leaves you feeling lame. The price for your addiction costs you nothing but pain.
Come out of the darkness, come into the light.
Come on,
walk by faith and not by sight. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. It's time to throw away the needle and put down the pipe. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Because darkness cannot survive in the light.
There are no rules on the street, so be quick on your feet. Every corner that you turn, no telling who you could meet. So many faceless names and nameless faces doing real crazy things, and they leave no traces. Now Freddy is dead.
What?
That's what I said. He took the wrong man's money and was shot in the head. There was this girl named Beth, strung out on pills and meth. Addiction took her life to 17 at her death. She had a friend named Jack, he was addicted to crack. He took his very first hit and he never came back. Let's not forget about Paul, he loved that alcohol. He had a head-on collision, killed a baby and all. Last night, Chris took Corey's life. When they arrested him, the blood was still on the knife.
Come on,
now both are separated from their kids and wife. One is in the ground, the other's doing life. Corey was stabbed in his heart for his money and dope. Chris was really strung out, and he had lost all hope. I can't believe I killed my friend, that's what he said in the note. The guards found Chris' body hanging from a rope.
Come out of the darkness, come into the light.
Come on,
walk by faith and not by sight. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. It's time to throw away the needle and put down the pipe. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Because darkness cannot survive in the light.
Drugs are not cool at all, so don't believe all the hype. It was in 1991 when I put down the pipe. You see, I had this affliction, better known as addiction. Took everything I had, including my ambition. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Every chance that I got of being sick and wired. I found some people like me, they said they found the key. The information that they gave me helped to set me free. So now I do what I can to help my fellow man. The message that I share is their recovery plan. You see, I once was lost, but today I'm found. Have no desire to get high, my feet are on the ground. If it can happen for me, then it can happen for you. You see, you're really not alone, your life can be brand new. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, every chance that you get of being sick and wired. And if you want to be free, that is the remedy. You're only 12 steps away from your recovery. The others like yourself, who got themselves some help. And the only way to keep it is to help someone else. No need to suffer no more. See, once you open the door, you'll find everything you need. Need I say more?
Come out of the darkness, come into the light.
Come on,
walk by faith and not by sight. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. It's time to throw away the needle and put down the pipe. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Because darkness cannot survive in the light. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Walk by faith.